south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander...
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started.
People are starting to sign up for my March 2024 Expat Insider Seminar. Of course, they want to get in on those early bird discounts. So, mark your calendar for Friday, March 8th through March 15th, 2024. We'll be doing two countries again, Guatemala and El Salvador. You'll be flying in and out of the main Guatemala City airport. With most of you coming in on Friday, March 8th, the next day, Saturday morning, March 9th, we'll be on the road at 8 sharp with daytime lectures and afternoon and evening boots-on-the-ground trips to places that are just amazing. To get in on the seminar yourself, just go to expatplanb.com and click on the seminar link. And remember, as always, repeat offenders, we always have repeat offenders, get $1,000 off the early bird price. Oh, and if you plan on coming down as a single person and you want to save some money, normally we can hook you up with a roommate so you'll be double occupancy. Same sex and gender, of course. So just go to expatplanb.com for all the info and sign-up details. Now, speaking about the ugly part of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, sometimes ugly can happen when you're down here in Latin America. And when it does happen, it's often during December because, you know, right before Christmas, certain Latinos, the no goodniks, of course, they occasionally scam and rip people off because, you know, 'tis the season and all that. However, if you're a little bit cautious, that just won't happen to you. And sometimes when I hear these stories, and I'm almost always hearing them around Christmas time, it's usually because someone let their guard down in a bad neighborhood. So, lesson number one, stay away from bad neighborhoods. By the way, I'm an expert in bad neighborhoods. I come from Chicago. Anyway, this time of year, you kind of wonder where that goodwill towards man bit comes in, because it seems around Christmas time, the thieves and no goodniks are in high gear. How can you believe in goodwill towards men when more people get ripped off at Christmas time than any other season? Oh, well. Anyway, today's ugly boots-on-the-ground story starts in Colombia. I've been to Colombia many times. I know Medellin, Bogota, Cartagena, and San Andres quite well. I've always said to gringos and expats who really like Colombia, go ahead, invest there. But spend some time there first, at least 6 months to a year. You might change your mind, especially if you want to start a business. Colombia's got some of the most crazy and terrible tax laws you've ever seen. That is, if you want to have a legit business there. In fact, just last year, they passed a new minimum tax law. Every business has to pay a minimum of 15% gross tax. So, between income tax, value-added tax, consumption tax, industry tax, commerce tax, registration tax, and on, it's very difficult to do legit business in Colombia. But that's another story. Personally, though, for Colombia, I like Medellin, though there are only certain places, certain neighborhoods I'd recommend for gringos and expats, like El Poblado, Provenza, L'Oreales, and a certain few others. Of course, it's going to be much more expensive living in those areas because they're gringoized, or more or less like some of the nice built-up areas in Panama City or Miami. Being more upscale and expensive means they're safer day and night, too. You'll know right away it's high-end because you'll see nice cars everywhere, not junks. You'll see beautifully manicured gardens. The streets and parks are nicely lit, and they're very clean, too. You'll see lots of nicely dressed people hanging out, going to upscale restaurants, bars, discos. I've noticed there are a lot more light-skinned people in those high-end areas, too. And if they're locals, my guess is most of them are children of the rich. Because, you see, in Latin America, it's almost always the case that the richer the class, the lighter skin they are. What's that tell you? Oh, and the ladies you'll see there whining and dining and hanging out at the discos are mostly, judging how they're dressed, high maintenance. High maintenance Latin style, not quite like in the States, but high maintenance nevertheless. However, that's where the local young Latina and Latino rich kid wannabes love to hang out too. I'm talking about young Latino adults from the barrio with not much of a pot to pee in. They'll dress up and come out at nights to the wealthier areas of town. You know, putting on the dog. That's a Latin American pastime. sometimes it's hard to tell the rich kids and rich young adults from the wannabes. In other words, suppose you was a gringo, took an Airbnb for a month or two in Medellin, Colombia, in Provencia, one of the very nicer areas in Medellin, Colombia. Let's say you meet a really nice, beautiful Latina in the park or at a restaurant, whatever. Maybe she's working at Starbucks. You make a connection, you start courting her. Is that still a word, courting? Do they use that? Anyway, chances are most of the girls you meet in those areas, especially the girls work on the daytime jobs, you know, at Starbucks or banks or whatever. The fact is, there's like a 90% or more chance that she actually lives in a pretty shitty barrio and comes into Poblado, Provencia, or L'Oreales for her day job. Chances are, once or twice a week, she comes and hangs out in that area with her girlfriends at night, too. Because that's where, you know, all the upscale discos and restaurants and what you might call highly civilized party action is. Well, over the years, I've known quite a few gringos and expats who settled in Medellin, Colombia. We're talking about Medellin because that's where this story takes place. This ugly story I'm getting to. But you've got the same sort of thing happening in Cartagena, Bogota, any of the big cities in Colombia. They got some really nice districts where there are gringos and expats. The same places where the folks from the barrio come at nights and on weekends to put on the dog. Because it's just so much nicer and organized and cleaner, better entertainment, better restaurants, and of course, safer, the whole works. So anyway, a gringo buddy of mine has been pestering me to come to Medellin, Colombia, because he wants to buy a two-bedroom apartment in a nice residential tower in Poblado. He's been there a few times, talked to the realtors. The price is right, he says, around 180 or 90,000 bucks for a really nice place. Underground protected parking too, and he's got a really great view of the city out his window and a balcony. Maintenance is about 100 a month, and the building's relatively new, only 4 years old. He sent me the pictures and coerced me into coming down and checking it out personally, because he knows, well, you know, being an engineer in former life. And after building a dozen or so houses and office buildings myself, I know a little bit about construction. So I went down there 2 weeks ago. I had some other things to do, not just checking his apartment out. I had a meeting or two. Anyway, we hung out for a couple of days. I checked out the apartment. It was great. By the way, he's a 50-something gringo from Indianapolis. He's been an expat for about 4 years, ever since he's divorced and the kids moved out of the house. And now he's a relatively free guy again, working on the second chapter of his life like lots of gringos and expats do. Gringa expats as well. Anyway, all the while we were hanging, he was talking about his new Colombian girlfriend, who I hadn't met yet, but he was pushing me to meet her. He was telling me all about her. He met her in Poblado district, the nice district. She's working in a restaurant. Showed me pictures. She's beautiful. She's 31, single mom with, I think, a 6-year-old kid. So anyway, he said, this afternoon, you're going to meet her. I told her I'm bringing you, Johnny, over to her house. It turns out she lives about 5 kilometers from Poblado, where she works and where her boyfriend, my buddy, lives. When he told me what area she lived, I said, man, that's a pretty shitty down-and-out barrio. He said, yeah, I know, there's some crappy areas there, but there are some really nice little neighborhoods plopped in there, too. And I knew he was right. You could drive through some really terrible, congested zones where you'd hate to have a flat tire and get out of the car. People would come up to you and mess with you. Just too dangerous. And then 2 minutes later, you take a left and a right, and you're in a really nice, quiet neighborhood with houses that aren't so bad at all. I mean, look, no one's got a solar hot water heater on their house or solar panels or a swimming pool. But there always are some little islands of cleanliness and prosperity scattered around in every nasty barrio. Beats me how that happens and why people with decent houses just don't sell them and get the hell out. But sometimes, you know, you got a whole big stretch of nice houses, maybe clustered in a 4 or 5 square block area. And then all of a sudden you take a right or left turn and you're in the crappiest part of a barrio again, with cars driving the wrong way down one-way streets, motorcyclists weaving through such tight traffic, sometimes they snap off a mirror or end up driving on the sidewalk to get around someone. Then you've got those bashed-up chicken buses cutting you off and blowing smoke. And if you stop at an intersection, people are pounding on your windows, asking for money, and people missing an arm or a leg, trying to sell you all kinds of junk or clean your windshield, hawking bottles of water that may or may not be contaminated. Man, I'll tell you, there are some barrios when you're stuck at a stoplight, you don't want to roll your window down. For anyone. So be that as it may, we were on our way to my expat buddy's girlfriend's house, and we passed through a couple of little crap barrios that looked like war zones. And suddenly, after a couple of rights and a left, we were in a nice, pleasant, quiet little island of prosperity, as mentioned. And I thought, wow, this is nice. Everybody's house is painted nice. Trees and bushes are trimmed. There's flowers everywhere. People actually doing some kind of gardening. The garbage completely under control. Nothing piled up on street corners like in so many barrios. And I thought, man, this is nice, but I'd never recommend a gringo or expat live there. It's too close to a war zone. But I bet the rent's super cheap. And I said, how much does she pay? He says, well, she's got a nice second floor, three-bedroom apartment. It includes the water, a carport, protected with gates and stuff. Though, you know, it's a neighborhood with attached houses and a couple single houses, but, you know, where you got common walls with the next house and stuff. Oh, and she's got a nice second floor open balcony, all airy and bright with a nice big ceiling fan. And anywhere you sit on that balcony, you can see everything going on down in the street. On top of that, just a block and a half away, you could see a little primary school, primaria. That'd be K through maybe grade 7. It's one of those private schools that's very cheap, maybe like $100 a month to send your kid there, but it is private. Yep, that's right. Even crappy neighborhoods, really crappy neighborhoods, have, of course, public schools and private schools for parents who can afford it. Like I said, maybe $100 a month, which is a big stretch when your average income is $300 or $400 a month. Believe me, every parent in Latin America wants to send their kid to a private school because the public schools are trash. Sound familiar? Well, down here, the public schools may be trash, but they ain't woke. So anyway, my buddy parked his car in front of his girlfriend's apartment, and he pointed up to the balcony on the second floor, and he said, there she is, up there, that's her balcony. So we got out of the car. Now it's 3 p.m. There's pretty much no one around and no traffic either, except just one or two motorcycle delivery guys came through as we were getting out of the car, and one of them with a red carrier box on the back that was stenciled with the word pedidos, which means orders, or we take orders in English. Anyway, the guy hopped off his motorcycle, went into the box in back, pulled out a plastic carton of food, you know, takeaway, knocked on the very door we were going to, and this short, kind of squatty, I'd say 30-something Latina answered the door. I said to my buddy, is that your girlfriend? He said, no, that's her cleaning lady. She comes 2 days a week. Then he winked and said, who do you think pays for that? Of course he does. And I'll bet a Bitcoin she never had a cleaning lady before she became his girlfriend. Anyway, the cleaning lady took the food from the motorcycle delivery guy, gave him some money, and he took off. So we went into the house, walked up the stairs. His girlfriend met us at the door up there. She was beautiful, all right. If she turned out to be a nice person, great personality and all that, and as they say in Latin America, cariñosa, which means loving, then I'd say my 50-something gringo buddy won the love lottery, all right. So anyway, we went into the place, had all new furniture, new refrigerator, was nicely painted. She gave us the nickel tour. And again, when my buddy gave me a wink as she was showing us around, I knew he'd paid for the whole thing. I kind of figured that because when you walk into a middle-class Latin American's home, no one has new furniture, not everywhere. It's generally pretty tattered and torn, at least most of it is. You rarely see a middle-class Latino's home where all the furniture's in tip-top shape. So are they hard on the furniture? You bet, and they almost never throw it away till it's just fallen apart. Anyway, then we went to sit down on the balcony, real nice view. I could see, a block and a half away, kids on the playground in their uniforms at that private school. Oddly enough, as mentioned before, practically no traffic on that side street. Hardly anyone walking by at all. In fact, if I hadn't driven through those terrible barrios to get there, man, I would have said if you're a gringo expat on a tight budget, why not rent a place here? Especially after my buddy told me his girlfriend pays $250 a month, which is probably her whole salary or close to it. So I guess I know who was helping with that bill too. Oh, and remember, I told you she had a kid, right? Well, the kid was at school, and her mom, who lived there too, wasn't around. Oh, and if you're wondering, my buddy speaks Spanish at about a 40 to 50% level, like maybe a Spanish kid who's in first grade. And his girlfriend spoke almost no English, just the usual, nice to meet you and where'd you from? You know, many Latinos say those two phrases to be polite. Just like gringos whose Spanish sucks will often say buenos dias or mucho gusto when encountering a Latino. So anyway, we're sitting on the second floor balcony, and it projects almost to the sidewalk. In other words, if I walked to the edge of it, I could look down on the sidewalk. Could clearly see my buddy's car, which was only about 30 or 40 feet away, directly in front. By the way, he has a 2020 Honda CR-V in great shape, which, by the way, is a perfect car to have down here in Latin America. So anyway, his girlfriend comes back from the kitchen with a couple of beers. Then I asked, well, could I have a cup of coffee instead? And the cleaning lady who was in the kitchen jumped on that right away. Then, suddenly, the doorbell rang. And we all could see, looking out the balcony, it was another delivery guy. Same kind of cycle, same little red box on the back said pedidos. My buddy's girlfriend yelled to the cleaning lady to run down and pick up the delivery and pay him. 2 seconds later, the cleaning lady completed that mission, came back upstairs, and put a cold six-pack of beer in the refrigerator, otherwise known as the refri here in Latin America. Refri, R-E-F-R-I. That's short for refrigerator. Now, the girlfriend took off for a second, and my gringo buddy made a face and started apologizing. He said, there's not a lot I don't like about her, but she does have one bad habit she loves to order out, get food deliveries. Sometimes, he says, she'll order 2 different deliveries a day. She doesn't like to cook and it drives me nuts. Unusual for a Latina. And I said to him, man, that's got to cost a ton. Twice a day sometimes she orders out. He said, it's not that bad at all. She orders from the corner delis. Food is really cheap in these barrios. He said a complete chicken licking lunch could cost $3 or $4 at most. He said she rarely orders from Kentucky Fried or McDonald's, though she could. She knows I'd get pissed off if she got into that habit. And all the while I was thinking, I've been down here so long in Latin America and I've never once ordered a food delivery. But man, I'll tell you, those delivery guys on motorcycles are so busy delivering food and beer and junk. It's a hell of a growth industry. I just don't get how these Latinos making $300 or $400 a month can afford to order delivery all the time, especially on weekend nights when people are sitting at home and they run out of beer and they're partying. Maybe that's why they're always broke. Of course, I'm not talking about the upscale neighborhoods. I'm talking about the barrios. Those middle-class neighborhoods, too. They're the ones that keep those delivery guys in business. Now, here's the strange part. My gringo buddy and I were talking away, and his girlfriend was with the cleaning lady in another room somewhere. She wasn't on that balcony with us for long. As I was talking to my buddy on that balcony, I was looking out at the street, and I noticed there was another delivery guy. Delivery guy number 3. With his bike parked right outside the front door. Same kind of bike, same kind of red box that said pedidos on it. I could see the guy sitting on his motorcycle with his helmet on right below me because, like I said, you could look right down from the balcony and see the sidewalk below. Now, I didn't think anything of it. I thought maybe the guy's just waiting for his next order or whatever. He was swiping away on his phone as usual. They all do that. So anyway, I'd say about 20 minutes, maybe a half hour went by. My buddy, my gringo buddy, stood up. He seemed sort of agitated a bit. He started touching his shirt and pants pockets, feeling for something. He said, shit, I left my phone in the car. So he walked off the balcony, walked down the stairs, out the front door. Now again, there's only his car outside, maybe 2 or 3 cars parked much farther down the street. No one actively driving down the street anyway, except the guy in the delivery moto right in front. My gringo buddy walked right past the delivery motorcycle guy who was still sitting on his bike. My buddy walked right up to his car door, fumbled a bit for his keys. Now, remember, I'm sitting up on the second floor balcony watching this whole thing. It's like happening right in front of my eyes, maybe 20, 30 feet away. Of course, down at street level. Suddenly, the motorcycle delivery guy with his helmet on gets off his bike, walks up to my buddy who's standing there ready to put the key into the door and open it. I found out later the reason why his button on the key fob didn't work, you know, the one that opens the door automatically, is because his battery went dead a couple of days ago and he never replaced it. So for the last couple of days, he's been just pushing the key in like a regular lock and opening the door and starting his car. The old-fashioned way, by using the key. So anyway, I'm the only one up in the balcony, so I'm watching him go to his car. The motorcycle guy taps him on the shoulder. My buddy turned around. Then, get this. Remember, it's 3 in the afternoon, sun's out, nice and bright. The delivery guy unwraps a piece of paper that looked like it was in an envelope. He holds the paper up to my buddy's face and blows, and I see powder fly in my buddy's face. And guess what? I immediately knew what was happening. Now, you may have heard this before, maybe you haven't. But there's been a scam going around Colombia for quite some time now. I think it's spreading to other countries now, where they use a powdered drug called scopolamine. I know they use that in conjunction with legitimate anesthetics. They use it before they give you an IV to put you under. It's called a twilight drug because it makes you feel as if you're asleep, but you're not. Anyway, just for a little background, unofficial estimates indicate there are approximately 50,000 scopolamine incidents a year in Colombia. I'm reading this now from a scientific paper. It says, in liquid or powder form, can be used in beverages or blown in the face. Generally known as a date rape drug, scopolamine, or as it's known in South America, devil's breath, its use is on the increase. The majority of these incidents occur in nightclubs and bars, usually used by men perceived to be wealthy who target young, attractive women, who generally remember nothing the next day. Shades of Bill Cosby. Then it says the MO, the modus operandi, has changed. According to an ACN study, ACN, whatever that is, in 2023, 70% of scopolamine intoxication incidents were males between the ages of 30 and 45, and 94% of those cases, the motive was robbery. Which makes you wonder, are people doing that up in the States? They must be. I don't know, though. I haven't heard much about it up there, but down here in Latin America, people mention it once in a while. Not much at all in Central America, but a lot in South America. In fact, there's even a Colombian scopolamine victims and alerts group on Facebook. If you check it out, you'll see that use of scopolamine to intoxicate victims is on the uptick due to the Tinder app, where organized criminal rings use pretty girls to go on dates with foreigners, gringos that is, on Tinder. Then they drug them and rob them. By the way, on that Facebook group, Colombia Scopolamine Victims and Alerts, victims, men victims that is, post the pictures and names of the girls they hooked up with on dating apps and who drugged them, just as a warning to keep away from those particular girls. It says, as an additional warning here, one should never accept food or beverages offered by a stranger or new acquaintances, or leave food and beverages unattended, especially in big cities in Colombia. It also says in this article, and I can give you a link here, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. It says, in Colombia, the use of scopolamine is most prevalent in Bogota and Medellin. It says if it happens to you, you've probably been robbed of your valuables, had your car stolen, though if you're lucky, the dose might not have been strong enough, or the drug was not blown directly in your face. If so, you may have escaped your would-be captors. Guess what? That's exactly what happened to my buddy. Turns out he too had learned about that scopolamine threat in Medellin a couple of months earlier. They've had some warnings about it in press releases, along with some internet babble and actual videos posted of real cases. In fact, I have one of those videos. A girl standing in front of an ATM machine. A guy blows the powder in her face and gets her to take out all her money and give it to him. It happened to a young Latina, maybe 20 to 25 years old. A guy who was standing right behind her at an ATM machine. Busy ATM machine. Lots of people walking by. He blew it right in her face. The store next to the ATM captured it all on camera. Funny thing, too, you can't see the guy's face because he's wearing a hoodie. So anyway, what happened to my buddy next is this. He knew what was happening. He yelled, practically screamed in the guy's face. I heard him. I was looking out the window, and I was shocked. My buddy ran up to the metal door, started beating on it with his right hand as hard as he could. Man, it was loud. The motorcycle delivery guy freaked out, jumped on his bike, and sped away. And me, his girlfriend, and the cleaning lady ran downstairs, opened the door, said, "What the hell happened?" I made him sit and calm down. He seemed excited, but not that affected. He said, "The guy probably blew scopolamine in my face." So he didn't seem out of it, which I kind of figured because he seemed to be talking quite logically. And I said, "Let's not do anything yet. Just calm down and see what happens. See if it takes effect." Well, apparently he didn't get enough of the stuff in his face, or maybe he wasn't breathing in when the guy dosed him. Though, after a minute or two, he said his nose and his nasal passages felt kind of numb. So, for about the next 20 minutes, we just sat there and watched him. He was excited, but he didn't get any worse. In fact, I knew he was fine when he started yelling at his girlfriend. He said, "You and your stupid deliveries." He said, "Every day all those idiot delivery drivers coming over here, they know everything about you and me." He said, "I'll bet anything those guys are in on it. I'll bet one of those nice delivery guys phoned up one of those bad boy delivery guys when he knew my car was parked here. Me, that stupid clueless gringo with a nice car in this shit neighborhood. He was just hanging around. He knew I eventually had to come out and start my car. The plan, of course, was to steal it. Who knows what would have happened if I had got a full dose of that stuff." Then he looked at me and said, "Fine first impression of my new girlfriend and her neighborhood. Hey, Johnny." Well, that did the trick. His girlfriend didn't know what to say. She turned red. Promised him she'd never order food delivery again, but I doubt that'll stick. Anyway, he told me it certainly was a near tragic event, but a good lesson. He said she's going to be leaving that place and moving in with him in his new two-bedroom unit in Poblado, the one we visited with the realtor in that nice upscale part of town. Pardon me, I said town. Well, Medellin is not exactly a town. It's got a population of about 4 million. So when I say it's got some bad areas, some bad barrios, you best believe in a city of 4 million people, they've got truckloads of guy and gal scammers who are bad to the bone. So again, should gringos and expats with a plan B consider moving to Colombia? Well, if you got enough money, first world money that is, you could live in Poblado, Provincia, lots of places. There are quite a few upscale neighborhoods where you'll be completely safe. But I wonder, after hearing that story, if you're not at least a little gun-shy about making a move to Colombia. Because let's face it, no matter how nice an area you live in, if you mingle and make friends with the locals, which I highly recommend, that's the only way to move to a country and fit in. If that happens, you're gonna occasionally end up in some of those barrios because that's where the other half lives. And when you're It stands to reason, though, if you're going in and out of iffy places, you just have to be smart about it. Problem is, you're a gringo. You stick out like a sore thumb. That is a problem, and one of the bigger problems is when single gringo guys come down looking to jump into the local mating dating scene. Probably 90% of the time or more, you're going to end up with a lady whose family lives on the wrong side of the tracks. Now, her family might be absolutely trustworthy, upright, and totally law-abiding. Four-star, great people, in fact. But as for a lot of the other people living in the barrio, well, you're always going to be that rich gringo on their stomping grounds, or perceived rich gringo with a nice car and real Nikes. Though you might be 100% solid middle class from Cleveland. Down here in any Latin American barrio, you're rich and they're not.
South of the border. You've been listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, we can schedule a one-on-one phone or Skype consult. Just send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to get on the waiting list for my next week-long Expat Insider Seminar in Central America, where you're guaranteed to get a 2 to 5 year head start on your Plan B, send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. Nos vemos.